going to preach to you a message this afternoon entitled, Stand Up, You're Not Alone. Stand Up, You're Not Alone. Daniel chapter 3. I love these Old Testament stories. They are historical fact, but the Bible tells us in the New Testament that they were written for our learning. So in other words, God wants us to look at these stories and draw principles from them that can help us in our daily life. And I think that's exactly, this story teaches us a variety of them this morning. For the context, let's look at Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. We'll eventually work through the whole chapter here, but verses 1 through 7. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. He wanted everybody there. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, and the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth this shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. However, there was 3 guys that didn't worship. That's the story we want to look at today. You know, when you're in a crowd like this, none of you necessarily stand out because, number one, you're not standing, so you don't stand. Son, I'd wake you up this afternoon. It's deep theology, isn't it? I worked hard on that. I really did. But if you're standing and everyone else is sitting, you become really obvious. Well, that's exactly what took place with these 3 Hebrew boys. They're standing. Everybody else on this plane is now bowed down before the image. It was pretty obvious that they were standing. I mean, they weren't just head and shoulders above the crowd. They were well above it. And they would be stood out. So here's what I'd like for us to do as we work through this passage. No matter what we think about all the situations that would happen, and I'm going to give you some opinions on some of this, you must look to God for your salvation and not men. It is so easy for us as people, for me, to look for our satisfaction in people. The New Testament warns us multiple times not to be a people pleaser. Because if you serve people, you can't serve God. And these 3 Hebrew children had determined, you know what? We're going to serve God. It doesn't matter what happens to us. Doesn't matter what you do to us. We're going to choose to look to God to have our needs met. So let's look at these, and we're going to give you, should I tell you how many? I'll go ahead and tell you. 10 principles from this passage of Scripture, but we'll try to do them quickly today, all right? Principle number 1, there will always be those who will accuse you for doing right. There will always be those who will accuse you for doing right. Look at verse 8 of our passage. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear, that shall hear the sound of the cornet, harp, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So, you've got people who immediately go to the king and say, King, listen, you've got a rule, you've got a law, and I want to tell you, those 3 guys over there, they're not doing what you told them to do. And sometimes we think, and matter of fact, I've heard people say, hey, do right and everything will work out okay. Can I tell you, both biblically and practically, there are some people that did right and it didn't work out okay. They either died for their faith or had things happen. Now you say, well, ultimately it works out okay. I got that. But I'm talking about right here. Sometimes the truth is you have to pay for doing right. Sometimes right is not always easy. Sometimes right is the very hardest thing that you can choose to do at that particular moment. I would imagine that in these boys' minds at least, it would have been easy to say, look, we could bow down. Nobody would know the difference. And the truth is, we know really down deep inside, we're not really bowing to this image. If we just did that, it would be okay. I don't know that they thought that way. I suspect from the text that they did not, but it would have been easy for them to think that way. But when you do right, there's going to be people accuse you. The fact is, what their accusation was accurate. The boys didn't bow down. Second principle, people who are wrong normally react in anger. Now, I want you to notice what happens here. The Bible says in verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Now, in his rage and fury, if you look at verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. So in other words, they go and tell Nebuchadnezzar, hey, these three guys didn't bow, they didn't obey you, and he's instantly furious. Before the conversation ends, the Bible says that he is so angry that his facial features are distorted. Now, that's being pretty mad. Now, you have to ask the question, why are you so mad? I mean, you have the power, right? You're the king. So why don't you just say, fine, they don't want to bow down to me, fine, throw them in the furnace. I'll show them. Go, in the furnace you go. Simple put, right? Why so angry? Why so indignant about this? Well, let's read the between verses here, and we're going to draw a number of principles out of these. So we'll refer back to them. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up? Is the accusation against you right? Now, if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And if it wasn't bad enough, now he really gets in trouble. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Remember, we going through our study in Exodus on Wednesday night. We've told you the last thing you want to do is challenge God. Last thing you want to do is say, and who is God that I should obey his voice? You kidding me? Who is that God that can deliver you? I don't know of any gods that can deliver you out of this mess. So now what are you going to say? I love what they said. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We'll talk about this in just a minute, but I think they were very respectful in their answer, even though they didn't flinch. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace. In other words, I can tell you what God is able to do this. It's our God. Because if he wants to, your fiery furnace is done. I mean, he could totally annihilate it. He could certainly put it out. Or he could ignite it. It doesn't matter. We can give you all kinds of stories about either one of those. But he says, from the burning, and he will deliver us out of thy hand. One way or the other, king, he's going to deliver us out of your hand. Doesn't matter. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Can I tell you something, king? It wouldn't matter if our God doesn't choose to deliver us at all. We're not serving your God. That really got him. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. It's like, how dare they talk this way to me? You know, it's interesting. When people are wrong, and they know they're wrong, and something comes along to point that out, their anger is fury. I mean, it's amazing how it reacts. You want to look at them and say, what are you wrong about? I'm not wrong. Well, you sure are reacting that way. Matter of fact, I ask myself a question. If somebody challenges me on something and I get instantly angry inside, why? Why am I angry? Do I already know that this is really wrong and my conscience has already been dealing with me and now they're just come alongside of me, or what's wrong? The truth is, if I'm right, why get angry about it? There's no point in it. By the way, let's just think for a moment. I personally believe that the fiery furnace, I'm going to get that wrong in a minute, this fiery furnace, I think was the actual furnace that he built the golden image for. Now, the Bible doesn't say that, but it makes logical sense about that. It takes somewhere around 1,500 to 1,900 degrees to melt gold. Okay? So, I can just tell you something. If it's 1,500 degrees, you're not going to last long. It's going to do the job of crisping you up. All right? But Nebuchadnezzar doesn't leave it at that. What does he say? I'm going to heat it 5 times more than it wants to be heated. We're gonna make this really bad. Okay, so now it's anywhere from 10,800 degrees to 13,300 degrees. You're talking about overkill. I mean, this is ridiculous. This doesn't even make sense. But he's so angry with what he said, he can't even think logically. Number three principle. Godly people are not disrespectful of authority. In other words, this king was wrong, and the boys knew that he was wrong, and they weren't going to bow down to his God because that would be disobeying God, and they are to obey God rather than man. But even in the process, they're not disrespectful to the authority. King, we're not careful to answer you about this matter, but I'm going to tell you, I know a God who can deliver us, and if he doesn't, it doesn't matter. We're not going to serve it anyway. I'm not going to bow down before you. Doesn't have to be belligerent. You're wrong and all that kind of stuff. Nebuchadnezzar is going to figure that out real quickly. Respect goes a long ways. You say, but they're wrong. I understand that. Respect goes a long ways. Number four principle. It is not a question of can God deliver, but how he will deliver. See, they already knew that God was going to deliver them. And it was possible that God would choose to deliver them by killing them in the fire. That was possible. We have examples in history of people who God chose to let die at the stake for their faith. He didn't deliver them out of that, but he did deliver them. So the issue was, can God deliver? No. We know God can deliver, and he's going to do that. We're just not sure if he's going to do it here or there, but this is not an issue for us. We've already resolved this. Number five, principle. Godly people do not change because of threats. Be it known unto thee, O king, we're not serving your gods. We may have to go through that fiery furnace, and we may have to endure the pain of burning, but we're not bowing. It's not happening. It's amazing when you study history and look at the people who have gone to the stake and died for the cause of Christ and done so graciously. That's only the grace of God that can do that. But godly people don't change because of threats. It wasn't like those boys had not already calculated what was going on. Oh, 10,000 degrees is much worse than 1,500 degrees. I think we'll now recant. That it didn't change your opinion about it. We're not bowing. The sixth principle from this passage of Scripture. Anger usually hurts innocent bystanders. Now notice the story as it unfolds. Nebuchadnezzar is now so mad that he commanded that they heat it seven times more than it was wont to be heated. In verse 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army. So upper echelon, something like Marines or something like that. I'm just kidding. Mighty men in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fire furnace. Verse 21, then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was so urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So in other words, the most valiant of his army died in the process. What did they do? They were, if you will, innocent bystanders in this process. But the king in his anger had to heat it seven times as hot as it needed to be, which was absurd, so that if you get close to that kind of fire, it's going to kill you. In Louisiana, I had the privilege of volunteering on a fire department. It was fascinating. I loved to do it. But my very first fire I fought inside a building was a grease fire. And I can tell you, grease fires get really, really hot. When I went in the first time to a secondary level of the fire, I didn't have any tank on or anything like that. It was hard to breathe in there. But it was so hot in there when I pushed the door open for the guys to squirt in that it actually melted the reflectors on the fire suit. It was incredible, the amount of heat that was in that building. And that was nowhere near this kind of degrees. It killed the innocent bystanders. Anger does hurt innocent bystanders. Anger does damage to the people around you, in your home, that you work with, that you minister to. Your anger. It's not just you. It always impacts other people. The seventh principle. I love this. Look at verse 23. Then these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. They were tied up. So when they threw them in, that's what's going to happen. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. That's exactly what happened. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men. That's the first difference. The second one, loose. The third strange thing, walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt. Fifth weird thing. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Now, how did he know that? What told him what the Son of God would look like? That's an interesting study, by the way. We don't have time to deal with that. But I suspect that it's the God knowledge that God plants on every man's heart. But that's a whole other subject. We can get to that sometime. But here's our seventh principle. When you're in the center of God's will, don't be in a hurry. Isn't it strange that they're walking in the fire? I mean, once you got thrown in, the fire burns whatever you were tied with, and you stand up. Now, I'm going to just tell you how I'd be reacting. I'd be like, Shadrach, that's you. That's me. We're fine. I would be finding an exit door. I mean, I don't know how long this miracle is going to keep going, but let's go ahead and get out of here, right? I mean, that. Of course, they know that God's there. You know, sometimes the sweet fellowship with our Lord only happens in the fire. They could walk out of the fire, but the Son of God was in the fire. And that's exactly where they were supposed to be at that time. And God knew that's where they were supposed to be. That this wasn't a mistake. God knew the process that was happening. They knew what stand they would take. He knew exactly where they would be. You know, sometimes we get through difficulty, and instead of finding out what God wants to do in our lives in the midst of that difficulty, we're looking for ways out. Matter of fact, most of the time we pray, God, just get me out of this mess. Instead of, okay, Lord, do you want me here? And if you do, what do you want to teach me? What is it that I'm to learn through this process? And rather than getting off of the difficulty, how about, Lord, you teach me what you want me to learn? The eighth principle, right from this same verse, many times God's presence is most evident in difficulty. many times God's presence is most evident in difficulty. By our human nature, we don't seek God the same when things are going well as they do when they're going bad. The writer of the book of Proverbs says that, didn't he? Lord, don't make me too poor that I steal, but don't make me too satisfied that I forget you. In other words, our human nature is to not be so dependent upon God when things are going well. I find myself doing that. How many times do you find yourself praying about the health of your body when you're not sick? You're like, well, that's because I'm not sick. Why do I need to pray about it? You do know that when your heart stops, you no longer live. And it could stop just like that. So praying that it would keep functioning is probably a nice thing. I'm not saying you have to pray about that. What I'm saying is we are fragile individuals. And our health can change in a matter of seconds. But we don't really think about that until we get in the midst of a crisis. We don't think about that God provided our needs, that our table is full, because we didn't have to think about it until we no longer have a full table and we're praying for the next meal. Where's it coming from? We get dependent on ourselves rather than dependent on Him. I'm going to tell you, you wouldn't have to convince those boys that they needed to pray. They were right in the middle of the difficulty, and fellowshipping with God would be worth it. The ninth principle, verse 26. I noticed some of these stories, I can't wait to see if God lets us see them. I don't know if He's going to let us see them or not, but it'd be cool. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire furnace. How close did he get? Because the other guys who got close enough to throw them in died. Anybody ever been around a fire? Anybody ever been around? If the closer you are to a fire, believe it or not, it is incredibly noisy. It actually roars. Can you imagine how loud this fire must have been? So here we've got the king. He came near to the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spake, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. Oh, all of a sudden now he knows which God can deliver. Ye servants of the Most High God, I'd like you to come on out, please. Come forth. Come on out of here, out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed. That's pretty amazing. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. We had a bonfire the other night with our grandkids, and then we went out to eat afterwards, and you could smell fire on all of us. It's in your hair. And I wasn't in it. I just was next to it, you know. These guys were in it. It didn't even have a smell of it. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. What a powerful testimony. The ninth truth. Others will be amazed at your God. When you stand up for God, they will be amazed at your God. You notice what he says there? He says some phenomenal things. He said, this God is a God that's able to deliver. He says, not only that, but you trusted him. You knew that he was capable of doing this. Not only that, but you changed my word. I'm the most powerful man on the earth. You changed my word. They yielded their bodies. In other words, their physical being held nothing on their faith. They gave that up for their God. I love it. That they might not serve nor worship any God. In other words, their God is so important to them, they're willing to die for him. Wow. Now, Our king in this story is a little emotional because he goes from one extreme to another. Verse 29, therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which spake anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So before, if you didn't serve my God, all peoples, tongues, nations, blah, 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 you're going in the fiery furnace. Now all of a sudden he's made a 180. Can I tell you, if you say anything against this God, you shall be cut in pieces. Their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God get to deliver after this sort. Wow. Okay, so you go from a whole plain of people. Now, I want you to get the picture. A whole plain of people that has just bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar's image. Now, they're all standing there except for the three guys who didn't bow down. And now, all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, by the way, forget the image, in essence. And don't you dare speak against their God, because if you do, I'm going to cut you in little tiny pieces. We're going to make your house a dunghill. And you know, it's like, wow. Nothing like being a little drastic in your pendulum swings here, pal, you know. And then verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. You know what? I think I'm going to make you three boys. I'm going to give you a promotion for that. So they go from, you know what? This is probably going to cost us our lives, but it's the right thing to do anyway. To going through the fire, coming out on the other side, if you will, and be promoted in their positions. Don't you love it? These little stories intrigue me. What about the guys who told on them? Because now they're probably over them, you know? That'd be great to see that. You're going to what? You're promoting them? It'd have been kind of like Potiphar's wife when she heard that Joseph was in command. You know? Oh, someone's being celebrated. Who is that? It's Joseph. I don't think I'm coming to this parade, you know? Or how about Haman? Ooh, who would the king delight to honor but me? I'll tell you what, king, this is what you ought to do. You ought to give everyone his nice horse. You ought to pray. You ought to pray deep through the city and everything. Great, go do that to Mordecai. What? Of everybody you could have chosen, not Mordecai, not me. No, you're not going to do this. It was so bad he hung himself. It's like, wow. It is never fun to stand alone. It's just not fun. Sometimes it's like, ay, ay, ay. What are these people going to think about me? Some of these people are my friends. Some of these people I rule with. Some of these people are maybe this guy. I'm actually trying to teach him about my God. So maybe if I go ahead and bow down, then I'll have more opportunities to teach him. Because after all, if I don't bow down, I'm going to be dead. These are 10 powerful principles for us to live by. Let's quickly review them, and then we'll be done. There will always be those who will accuse you of doing right. Do right anyway. People who are wrong normally react in anger. When you react in anger, ask yourself, why am I angry? When my wife says to me, well, are you sure about this and this? Why get angry about it? Probably because you're not sure. Godly people are not disrespectful of authority. Fourth principle, it's not a question of can God deliver, but how he will do it. Fifth principle, godly people do not change because of threats. Six, anger usually hurts innocent bystanders. Seven, when you're in the center of God's will, don't be in a hurry. Eight, many times God's presence is more evident in difficulty. The ninth principle, others will be amazed at your God. And number 10, sometimes you will be promoted. Now, it's not always. These guys were promoted, but you don't always get promoted. But sometimes that happens. And God gives us wonderful truths. Father, thank you for these principles from this passage in Daniel. And they're wonderful truths that these guys just decided that I'm going to stand no matter what. Lord, help us to do so. And it comes sometimes when we're not expecting it. And we have to take these principles and know that God is in control, and he wants us to stand. And when we do, you're right there with us. Sometimes it doesn't work out where we get promoted and get rescued out of the fire. Sometimes we go into the fire and we die there, but we still want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, Lord, there's principles all over the map on this thing today. There's tons of ways it could be applied. Would you, as the Holy Spirit of God, apply specifically to the hearts and lives of people? And we'll thank you for it. Heads bowed and eyes.